Welcome to the Ripple Effect Podcast, where we boost confidence, celebrate impactful stories, and be the ripple of change. We are dedicated to sharing inspirational stories from successful women to young listeners. Thank you for tuning in.
We are a group of three high schoolers who are interested in learning about the world through the experiences of women of all ages and backgrounds in the workforce. The three of us are especially curious about what success means for each person and how to develop a work-life balance.
This episode's amazing guest speaker is Deepika Khatri, a Boston University alumna with both a Bachelor's of Science in Human Physiology and a Master's of Science in Applied Anatomy and Physiology. She is also an alumna of Cornell University, where she received her MBA. She now serves as Director of Global Commercial CAR T cell therapy for Breyanzi at Bristol Myers Squibb, where she leverages her cross-functional background in marketing, clinical research, and analytics to advance innovative cell therapies. With strong scientific grounding in oncology, hematology, immunology, and physiology, Deepika pairs technical insight with strategic leadership. She is also a passionate STEM advocate and a champion of inclusion in the workplace.
First of all, it sounds like you have made amazing contributions to the world of science. Your job title encompasses a variety of responsibilities and you wear so many different hats. Could you begin by describing your job responsibilities? What do you love most about your role?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you, ladies, for having me on your podcast. I think it's amazing that two empowered high school young females are trying to pave the way for their generation. I wish I had that when I was growing up, but I didn't. So thank you both for really providing a platform for us to share advice and just share lessons. So for me, I'll share a little bit about my current job. So yes, I just recently actually transitioned roles. I've been at Bristol Myers Squibb for 8 years. And prior to that, in general, I had a job at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in academia. So I have a little bit over a decade of experience in the healthcare space and pharma space. Currently, I work as the global director for cell therapy in a drug called Breyanzi. And I would say the role is really interesting because when you're working in the pharmaceutical industry, there's so many different pillars. You could be part of research and development, analytics, medical. So, and I sit in commercial, which is global marketing. So, usually you have two divisions in a pharmaceutical company. One's focused on the US business, and the other one's more international, which they also consider global. So, for me, most recently, I switched from being in the US business to the global business. And usually, what a commercial marketer does is you play a key role in developing and executing marketing strategies to support the launch and growth of innovative medicines. Here, I get to work with different teams across sales, medical, access, pricing, and you get to really understand what the needs are of a physician, because they're at the end of the day going to prescribe the drug that you're working on. And you get to analyze market trends, but also create meaningful campaigns, digital, print, to drive really brand awareness and adoption. I say it's kind of you wear a different hat every day. And the responsibilities also include strategy planning, managing promotional materials, engaging with doctors, also being compliant, because that's important across the industry. And so the role requires really like a lot of strategic thinking, communications, and just a passion for improving patient outcomes, because everything that we do at the end of the day is to help patients live better and longer lives.
Wow, that's so amazing. And it really does sound like you wear a lot of hats. You're in so many different positions and you're managing so much. And that's so inspiring to hear. I also think it's really cool how you made this transition from local is not the right word, but this domestic medicine and now switching to global medicine, and thinking like in terms of internationally progressing, creating access, creating like global access for medicine. That's super inspiring. We wanted to ask you, what was the spark of your interest in your career? Was there a specific defining moment in your academic life or maybe your personal or professional life when you decided that this was the role that you wanted to have? Or did you take more of an unconventional path before reaching your current job?
So I wish I could say I had a linear path, but I didn't. I had a pretty unconventional path, and kind of I would say I would have three key moments that led to that. One was when I was in college at Boston University. I really loved science. That's why I was a human physiology major, but I was curious about the business. My dad's an entrepreneur. My brother's now an entrepreneur, and I loved combining science, business, and research. So in one semester, I took all these courses. It was probably crazy, but I did it and I loved it. The second part I would say is I actually wanted to be a doctor and I wanted to go to med school, and I took the MCAT, which is the test you take for to get into medical school, three times, and I didn't get it. So for me, I didn't really know what to do next, so I had to be creative. And then I started working at a cancer hospital, which really was a testament to changing what I wanted to do is helping patients. And then my third defining moment was getting my MBA from Cornell, because that really skyrocketed my career trajectory to be able to speak with the science and the business, which is really hard, I would say. And not many people realize that's a skill set you can acquire during high school and college, and even like your first jobs. But for me, all this was really due to the fact that I grew up as a second generation Indian American living in New York. I had parents who didn't actually go to college. They had a very untraditional path. People thought your parents are probably doctors or engineers or researchers. Actually, they were not. So for me, I always had to be super vocal and try to figure out what can I do more, ask the right questions. Even though if I was lost or confused, I always had said, let me be bold and curious. So I would say between those three moments that led to me really kind of shaping where I am now, where I'm in a pharmaceutical industry and able to combine science, business, and research, something I wanted to do 10 years ago. And I'm glad I'm actually not a physician, even though I respect them highly. I'm able to do a little bit more now in my space and make an impact globally.
It's amazing to hear how you've sort of found your footing through all of these different experiences, and also sharing to us now that me and Rachel are seniors in high school and we're still kind of finding our footing and determining which sort of path would be best for us. And it's interesting to hear how you're trying to kind of merge these different fields like science, business, and research, three fields of which I'm also kind of foraying into. And also the MBA, I think that was a really important defining moment in your career. And you bring up all these different moments. So I was kind of wondering whether you've ever felt underrepresented in these moments. How did you navigate those moments, especially when advocating for yourself or for others? Because I know you mentioned you were very vocal and you had to be bold in these moments. So if you could sort of elaborate upon that.
Yeah, and I think you touch on something about how do you have to be savvy. I didn't have like TikTok, Instagram, like ChatGPT, which all you guys have now, which is amazing. I wish I had that back then. So you kind of needed to figure out how do you develop your own voice amongst all these experiences. Now you could like, put something in ChatGPT and it could kind of give you a persona, but you didn't have that back then. And for me, I did feel underrepresented. First is I went to a high school where I was the only minority, which is shocking to think about. And then I've always been the youngest in the room. And I know a lot of people, when they think about underrepresentation, they might think about your socioeconomic status, you might think about race, which some people may experience. But for me, it was really being the youngest and then also having a science skill set that I didn't know what to do with, especially when you're being niched in a researcher environment. So for me, it was in my MBA program, I was one of the three youngest in our class. Everyone had over 10 to 20 years of experience. I only had five, and I was a researcher. In academics, surrounded by people who like loved accounting and finance. So for me, I was always scared to be different because I was always told to be just like the others, be a doctor because that's what will make you successful, be an engineer that will make you successful. But for me, I kind of had to figure out what's my voice. And I got more and more comfortable with saying, you know what? I might be the youngest person in the room, and that's okay because I'm able to give a different perspective and maybe make it a little bit less of a tense situation by bringing a pop culture analysis or using certain tools. Like I say, you use Copilot all the time in my meetings, and a lot of my coworkers will say, like, well, how do I use it? So I think there's an advantage of being underrepresented in certain ways. And also, I have also realized sometimes I'm the only woman in a room with other physicians or in a meeting. And how do you make sure that you are appropriate and bold, but other people respect you at the same time? I think your generation has probably seen more women leaders than my generation. I'm seeing more now. But I always think that there's more that we can do, and how do you just kind of own your voice is what I would say has helped me navigate some of these challenges.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of our guest speakers say a very similar thing, that it's all about finding that self-respect and that confidence and kind of mitigating any imposter syndrome you might have and telling yourself that you are there for a reason and you have the skill set, you have the experience, and you have the capability to be in that room and to share your voice. And I think what you said about having a really specified skill set that was somewhat different than your coworkers, that's a very valuable thing and very valuable to a project and to a company when you're trying to incorporate all different thoughts and all different perspectives to develop something and to build a welcoming and productive team. So that's super amazing. Kind of transitioning into our next question, we wanted to ask you about your definition of success. We know success means a variety of things to a variety of people. And so personally, how do you define success, both professionally and personally?
That's a tough question because you could. I was thinking a little bit about this personally and professionally. Well, first, I want to go back to what you said is not only finding your voice, but being confident with what you're doing. And for success for me is when I was in high school, I said no one looked like me. No one was in a job that was similar to what I wanted. And now when I look back and I see you both of you, you young, talented women doing this podcast, and then also others that are giving back that are inspiring, I would say that's when I know I've been successful, if I've paved the way for others. My family and I recently just started a STEM scholarship in our local New York area where my brother and my sister and I wanted to give back to the local community because we said, well, if we can show to others people who have navigated a journey like ours, where our parents were immigrants, we really had a challenge figuring out how to find our path, if they're in college or career. And there must still be other students that are like that. There's still a lot of students that are first generation college students. There's first ones that are still of immigrant background. And how can we do that? So for me, success is defined as in a way I could give back to others, not only monetarily, but also through my journey, sharing my background. But then also just in general, I would say, you're in a room, even though I would say you're being the youngest and the only woman, that means you've made it. You're in I would say, in a sea full of sharks, but in a way, friendly sharks, because you really want to be able to then own your success. So I would say those are the things. It's a
Yeah.
tough question. It's a good question.
Yeah, definitely a loaded question there. But I think you've definitely established yourself or emerged as someone who uplifts and inspires the new generation and sort of paves this path through meaningful service, which you're doing so right now through being a guest on her podcast. Thank you so much once again. And I think the STEM scholarship is really amazing. And I think you've really been able to establish yourself both in the workforce and outside and kind of building upon that question or building upon those points, how have you managed to balance personal and your professional life? And what strategies have you learned as you managed both these aspects and your different responsibilities that come with it?
I would say, well, personal life. No, I'm kidding. I would say I am guilty of not having the best work-life balance. And I wish someone told me earlier in my career, like even when, don't just study, apply for that advanced degree and rinse and repeat. We are in such a culture right now of saying, let's work hard. Let's just sign up for every AP. Let's kind of compare ourselves with our peers, our cousins, our family, our friends. And then we just are so concerned about having a linear accelerated path that we kind of forget to have fun. And I feel I wish I did a little bit more of that, where I could just, say, I don't need to sign up for everything. I wish I could take a gap year. That's now like a cool thing to do, but it's a helpful thing to do so you don't waste money in college taking classes that you don't need to. So I would say that's a way to like advice for the next generation. What I've personally have been able to do is I love to travel, so I take my vacation. If I have a work trip, I'll take an extra day off. I recently in February was in San Antonio, Texas. Never have been there. Went to go see the Alamo. It was like a lovely city full of culture and people. So I try to carve time that way and travel with friends. But I also would say as I've gotten more progressed in my career, I've started to be better with my time now and be more mindful rather than being a yes person, which we all are overachievers and want to please people. I've gotten to say no more. So I'll block my calendars in the morning and I'll go work out for an hour. And if someone schedules a meeting, I will politely ask for it to be rescheduled. Or if they can't, then ask for meeting minutes, or I'll attend if it's extremely urgent. When I don't have to travel for weekends, I'll say no. I will try to sign off on a reasonable evening and try not to work like so late. So I would say like you're in charge of creating your own barriers and boundaries, and that something is should be very sacred to you. So I've started to do that a little bit more, and I'm gonna try to be better at it going into 26.
That's great advice. I mean, what you said at the end there, that you have control over your boundaries. And I think that sometimes we often forget, and we think that life kind of moves us along, but really we're in the driver's seat and we get to control what happens. Most of the time, that's not 100% true, but we get to set the limitations of what we should do and what we can do, and allowing ourselves to take a break once in a while is definitely important, like you had explained. And sometimes, like you had said, saying no is the most productive thing, even though it feels a little counterintuitive. Saying no and spending and directing your energy into another place and for a shorter period of time will make sure you don't get burnt out, but also just keeps you like interested and engaged with what you're doing. So that was such great advice. As we sort of wrap up our podcast here, our last question for you is, what advice would you give to the general population and slash or a young woman wanting to enter into the pharmaceutical industry?
That is a good question. I would say really focus on how do you differentiate yourself versus others. There's so many job opportunities in the pharmaceutical industry. You could do corporate comms, you could do medical, you could do regulatory, you could do law. Like it's not just you need to be a scientist to be in the pharmaceutical industry. What if you're passionate about helping people, making a difference in healthcare with creating new medicines for people, delivering them, discovering them. I would say the pharmaceutical industry is an opportunity for you. One thing also is take the chance if someone offers you a job opportunity in a different country. Sometimes as women, we hesitate because you might say, I have a family. I don't know if I could leave my family. I don't know if I'll be able to live by myself even and navigate certain challenges. Just do it. You'll figure it out. And I would say just don't be scared to take that challenge and just carve your own path. And you never know what adventure you may have. And work for a company that not only respects you, but values your talents. I wouldn't be in the position I am today if the company that I work for didn't invest in me as a person and didn't believe in what I could do to help others.
Well, that's really inspiring to hear how it's not only about you sort of giving to the company that you're working at, but they're also giving back to you by respecting you and also valuing your talents. And I do agree that taking the chance can sort of lead to new avenues that you wouldn't have expected otherwise. Well, Miss Katri, thank you so much for sharing your incredible journey with us, from initially wanting to be a doctor and sort of exploring these different avenues to emerging as someone who uplifts and inspires the next generation of women and people in general. Your ability to find confidence in a space where you were often the youngest in the room and often brought a completely different perspective, paired with your commitment to making a difference in the community, is truly inspiring and reminds us of how rewarding it can be to follow your curiosity, stay true to your values, and continually stay open to new opportunities.
Your story reminds us of the impact of seeking joy and staying resilient, both in and outside of the office. And your desire to propel the next generation forward is encouraging for us and our listeners. We're so grateful to have had the chance to learn from your experiences.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us today. Stay tuned for more inspiring stories in future episodes of the Ripple Effect podcast. Remember, change starts with each of us. Until next time.